All right, good morning, everybody. So last week, I guess if I try to categorize what happened, hopefully it was inspirational. But this week, I really want to, you know, we need both. We need to be inspired, but we also need to be equipped. So this morning, I'm really going to try to focus hard on sending you out the door with tools in your belt so we can get it, we can get excited, we can get inspired about living from our hearts, but we need tools in our tool belt, so to speak, so we can go and put this to work in our lives. So I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. Hopefully you can take notes or take pictures of the screen or whatever works best for you. But I want to just dive in this morning. So we're going to start off with our key scripture for this series. I'm in above all else, so Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard thy heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. So we've established over the last several times I've spoken here that this sets the priority. If there's going to be a priority in your life, above all else means this is high priority for God, right? This is the one thing you need to do if you don't know how to do anything else. It's to learn to guard your heart. Because life flows out. Everything you do comes out of your heart. Every decision you make, we may think it's intellectual, but it's really deeper than that. And we need to get in touch with our heart. And then we learn this one key phrase. I think it's really important. My heart is my responsibility. Sometimes when stuff comes out, we want to blame somebody else. If it's bad, if it's good, we want to take credit for it, right? If we have a blow up, well, it was her fault or it was their fault or something. But it's my responsibility. Whatever comes out of me is my responsibility. And like I said, I want to really focus on the scriptures, and I hope that you'll take notes and go home and pray over these and read these scriptures, and so that this isn't a talk that I know how to give. It's a talk that you know how to live. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I hope happens this morning. So Ezekiel 36, verse 26, God speaking prophetically through the prophet Ezekiel is still relevant to us today. God saying, I will give you a new heart. So this is when you received Christ, when you gave your life to Jesus, you accepted that the blood of Jesus paid for your sin. When you accepted the forgiveness of your sin, when you became righteous in God's sight, get the free gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus. When you had that experience, this is what happened to you. God gave you a new heart and a new spirit in you, and I'll remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So men of God should not be afraid or ashamed to say, I have a soft heart. Okay, I have a soft heart. I'm just a big softy. Okay, I might have all this external looking tough and mean and that's great. You know, you can be as macho as you want, but right down in here, keep it soft, guys. Okay, keep it soft because that's where God speaks to you. And if it's hard, it's like you've put up a barrier between you and God. I don't want a barrier between me and God. So keep your heart soft. So he gave you a new heart. Do you believe it? He gave you a new spirit. Do you believe it? That's the question. It's not whether it happened. It's whether we believe it and then we take action on it. So if you have a hard time believing that he took away your old heart of stone and gave you a new heart of flesh, then what you need to do is pray over this and ask God to speak these words to your heart, to let it like be like a slow rain on some hard soil that really soaks in and soaks in. So you might need to meditate over some of these scriptures over and over and over and ask the Holy Spirit to really, man, not a wimp. I'm not talking about a wimpy exterior. I'm not talking about you're not willing to defend your wife and children or any of that or be strong. You need to be strong. I'm talking about soft where your heart can hear from God. Okay. Hebrews 8:10. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel in those days. So anytime you read Israel in the New Testament now, it applies to us because we are the new Israel. We're the God's chosen people. Now we are the church. In Christ, we all became part of who is God's chosen people. So this is the covenant he will make with you, declares the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. How many times have you heard guys And I don't think we mean to make excuses, but we tend to say stuff like this. Well, I just don't know very much of the Bible, so I don't really know what to do. Have you heard people say that? I'm not very educated in the scripture. Well, maybe mentally you're not, but maybe you don't think you are. But according to Hebrews, God says it's all in there. That new heart, that new mind, that new spirit, it came with the instruction book written inside of you. It's like you are now the walking, talking concordance. Like you can access scripture. Do we believe this? I'll put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. So God's word and God's way is in you if you're a believer. I hope that empowers you. Yes, keep reading the Bible. Because here's what I say. When I read something, it agrees with what's in there. And it starts, you know, we start getting an arc between the two. And we're getting something going here now. The heart and the mind start agreeing. And we've got God's word starting to get active inside of us. Does that make sense? So, I encourage you, don't tell yourself, I don't know God's word. Say, I do know God's word. It's buried deep in my heart. I just need to allow what's in me to come out. I need to allow what God has put inside me to become the primary source of decision making. I need to become the dominating force of where I set my directions based on what God's put in me. See, we give way too much credit to the enemy and to the flesh and to our weaknesses rather than the strength of God's word that's been written on our hearts. The real question here is not whether it's written in the word, it's whether you believe it's true or not. If you believe that God's word is written on your heart, it will change your life. Okay, so my heart is my responsibility. Now, we've talked about this. I want to go over it briefly. Again, tools in your belt so that you can become an expert at being a heart guy, okay? Someone who lives from the heart, not just sits here and listens to someone teach about it, but you begin to be the one who lives it. So what do I need to guard my heart from? If the priority is set by God in the scripture, above all else, guard your heart. What am I guarding it from? Good question, right? What am I guarding it from? Here's what I would say. Anything that opposes your new identity in Christ. So we just read some scriptures that says you've got a new heart. You've got a new spirit. God's word is not only written in your mind, it's written in your heart. The enemy would come and tell you, that's not true. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. And doggone it, nobody likes you. The enemy would tell you that. The enemy would come to you and say, you don't have what it takes. You're a novice. And the Spirit of God in you would rise up and say, yes, you've got what it takes. My spirit, myself, is in you. I am the one doing the heavy lifting, would say the Holy Spirit to you today. I'm the one doing the work. Join me. I am in you. My word is in you. Can you believe it? So, When those lies come to you, tell you you're a loser or remind you of your past or say you don't have what it takes, what you need to say is, wait a minute, I'm guarding my heart from that. Let's make it real practical. You got anybody in your life who speaks down to you all the time, who reminds you of your past all the time, who doesn't lift you up but likes to rail on you and that you don't feel better when you've been around them, you feel worse? If you have someone like that in your life, you need to limit your exposure to that person. I'm sorry, it might be family members. Sometimes the people closest to us who really want to love us the most, sometimes you got to get a little separation so you can establish your own identity. And then you can enter back into that relationship at a different level of maturity or confidence. But, I mean, let's just say, if your dad has railed on you your whole life, told you you're a loser, and that's all he knows to do. I'm not after the guy. He thinks he's motivating you. He's not motivating you, but he thinks he is. You might have to get some distance. You go, well, what if the person I'm thinking of is my wife? Well, then you're going to have to really, I'm not saying you separate, you can't really separate from her in a good way, but you're going to have to surround yourself with some men who can give you the skills you need and help walk you through how to lead your wife to a better way of relating inside your house. This is what I believe according to Scripture. If the husband's the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, your wife is designed to follow your leadership. She wants to. If you have been a terrible leader for the last 15 years, it's going to be a little bit hard for her to follow you. But still inside of her heart, she wants to follow you. So if you'll start taking baby steps in the right direction, she will follow. Exponentially, it will get better. I've seen it happen time and time and time again. Most guys just give up. And so you don't get a divorce. You just live separated in the same house. God didn't intend that for you. He wants you to have a great, the best relationship you have should be with your spouse. You should share everything. You should lift each other up. You should know everything that's wrong with each other and everything that's right with each other and love each other anyway. And lift each other up and pray for one another. Dude, I'm telling you, I've been through the gamut on this. I've been up and down on this. But today I can tell you, man, I'm happy when I'm walking out. My wife says, what time is it? I go, 6:20. She said, I'm praying for you. I said, thank you. I need it. Man, that's a great way to start your day. And I thank God for all the hard work that she and I have put in learning how to relate to each other. But wherever that negative voice is, you've got to ignore it and listen to the Holy Spirit. Wherever that negative voice comes from. So if it's anybody other than your wife, you can probably get some distance from them. If it's your wife, set an appointment with Pastor Mark. He'll tell you how to do it. Or Gabe, or me. I'm just teasing it, but... Right, I mean, it's hard work, but it's good work, but you've got to get away from the negativity. You have to. You cannot live where people are berating you, putting you down, and condemning you constantly and think you're going to somehow rise as the phoenix from the ashes. I recommend you get out of the ashes and go rise somewhere else. Unless God makes you stay there, okay? That's just my advice to you. We'll keep going. So, anything that opposes your new identity in Christ, practically speaking, guard yourself against the hardness of heart. And we know how you get a hard heart. The Bible says it. You're hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So if you want to get real this morning, what is your weakest link in you? If I were the devil, where would I tempt you? I know what it is for me. I have several men who could call it out for me right now because I've identified it. I have surrounded myself with people who can help fortify my weakest link. But if you don't ever identify your weakest link, every time you slip into that, even you're going, I don't want to do that anymore, but you keep slipping in, it hardens your heart. Every time you intentionally sin, it hardens your heart. So if you want to keep a soft heart, you need to learn to guard against sin. Why does the Bible say, try to avoid the sin which so easily entangles you? Because you're used to tripping over it. You fall for it every time. What are you going to do to stop falling for it? I can't answer that for you, but I can tell you it's going to be hard work. It's going to be believing the Scripture. It's going to be surrounding yourself with the right kind of people who will help lift you out of that place. They won't condemn you, but they will tell you the truth. This is going to be really, really important. If you're going to guard your heart, you guard against hardness. Hardness comes through sin. So stop sinning. I know the traditional belief in evangelical circles, Christian circles in America, is I'm just a sinner saved by grace, which is not a true statement. I was a sinner. I got saved by grace. Now I'm a saint, a man of God. I don't have to sin today. Am I saying I don't? No, I probably will today. It's not my plan, though. As far as I know, I haven't yet. I mean, it's only 6:50, but... But see, premeditate righteousness. Don't you used to premeditate sin. So you ensured that your heart would stay hard. But now you're premeditating righteousness. You're ensuring that your heart stays soft. Nobody's perfect. People get tempted. People do stupid stuff. But here's what you need to guard against. Sin. So how are you going to avoid? There's places you don't need to go anymore. There's television stations you don't need to cruise past anymore. You might just need to turn off your TV or your internet. You can live without it. I have. There's people that you probably need to limit exposure to. See, I'm trying to be practical this morning. I can get up here and say, oh, let's get all excited about living from our heart. But if you don't do the hard choices, you'll just think, man, that was a great talk, and I would like to do that, but I ain't doing it because it's too hard. And you won't say that consciously, but your actions will say that. So can we just be real this morning? You're going to have to change who your best friends are, most likely. If you haven't already changed them, you're going to have to. I mean, if you're an alcoholic, you can't hang out with the guys who drink and watch the football game. That's stupid. We all know that. That's easy. But some of the others are nuances, right? Like people who dwell in negativity, they've always got a bad word to say. That's not as easy to identify as I can't hang out with alcohol. That's like an object. That's like I'll stay away from that. I can see that with my eyes. It's the ones that are coming from the heart, like words and the way people think. And you're going to have to really let the Holy Spirit lead you. Don't be afraid of losing your friends. They haven't been friends to you anyway. And if they're true friends, they'll appreciate the choices you're making and they'll follow your example and want to go to the better place with you. If they don't want to go with you, you're not losing anything. Now, I'm not trying to degrade human beings. Everybody's important, but you got to take care of you first. If you don't, you'll never change. Now, God may send you back to that crowd sometime in your future. But you probably need to get away from them right now. So guard your heart against anything that opposes your identity. So we talk about this all the time. What reinforces your identity is the scriptures that are listed in this booklet, Who I Am in Christ. So if you don't hear anything else today, please take one of these home. They're on the back table if you don't already have one. If you do, take another one. It's fine. And pick one a day. Two a day. Maybe three times a day. You usually eat three times a day. Maybe you should read one of these three times a day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I'm going to eat something that tells me who I am in Christ. You'll be amazed if you just do that little bitty thing. When I get up in the morning, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When I go to eat lunch, Christ's truth has set me free. When I go to sit down at dinner, I am the house of God. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. What if you establish that habit? Just three times a day, I read one of these truths, I pray over it, and I eat my meal. What if you led your wife and kids to do that with you? The once a week that you eat with them. That was a joke. Hopefully you eat with them more than once a week. What if you just did these little steps, baby steps? So just go, I'm going to change everything. No, you're not. Change one little thing. Take a baby step. And then give yourself a reward when you do. I don't know what that might be. Might just tell somebody. Tell somebody who will give you a high five. Go, look, man, I did that, and it helped me. Tell me. Tell Pastor Mark. Text one of your friends who knows you're trying to go for God and say, hey, I actually did it. Three times yesterday, I established my identity in Christ. Dude, they're going to, yeah, way to go, man. I believe in you. They'll probably send you back another word of encouragement, and you're going to start being lifted. Instead of drug down every day. Guys, we got to help each other. So guard your heart. We got to help each other. Hebrews 3:13. Here's what I'm talking about. Exhort one another daily while it's still called today. So what day is this? It's Tuesday, but it's also today. Do you know some people wake up on Tuesday? Well, it's Tuesday. Now we're already thinking about Wednesday. or the weekend or the next week or what. Hey, you're not promised anything but right now. As long as it's called today, encourage one another, exhort one another, spur one another on to godliness. It says, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin that we've already talked about. Okay. In the book of Ephesians, I'm not going to read all this, but in chapter 4, around verse 19, it explains how a believer could become recalloused. You see what I'm saying? Like, you got a soft heart when you were saved, but if you don't change your actions, you re-harden, you put a callus on top of that soft heart. Go study that, Ephesians 4. It gives you a remedy, however, in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, Paul explains how to get out of the drunken state of hardness and come alive in righteousness through Jesus Christ. It's like you've gotten drunk on your own thoughts and your own actions, and you're dissipated and you can't remember who you are. Here's how it says, no matter what your problem is, put off the old, put on the new. Put off the old, put on the new. Could you identify in your own mind right now what the old looks like for you? Okay? You got it? Now put it off. Take it off. Could you identify in your own mind what new looks like to you today? If you can do these simple exercises, then you can make intentional efforts to, I'm going to be that. I'm going to do that. Okay, I'm going to put that off. I'm going to put this on. That's not hard. Make a choice to take hold of your new identity. Be who you really are. Now we're about to wrap this up. So the wisdom of God says to guard your heart above all else. Above all else, guard your heart. Guarding our heart is the determining factor for all future growth and development. I'm assuming, because you show up here at 6:30 on Sunday morning, you care about your future. I don't think any of you are here to impress me. I don't think you're here to impress your friends. I think you're here because you want to make an investment into your life, into your family's life. You want to become the man of God that God called you to be. So guarding your heart is the determining factor for all future growth and development. What area of your life have you identified that you're weak? How are you going to grow in that area? If you'll identify your weakest link, you'll tell somebody today at the table, then you begin to ask God, God, show me the people who I can surround myself with who will help me fortify. And guess what? One of these days, it won't be your weakest link anymore. You will be strong in that area. But right now, every one of us got a weakest link. Maybe some of you fall into depression. You get anxious real easy. Maybe some of you are rageaholics. You get mad at the drop of the hat. You don't even know why you're mad. Maybe some of you are just good old perverts. That applies to a lot of people. You're sexually minded. All you can think of is lustful thoughts. If that's your weakest link, erp it out today. Tell somebody. Maybe you struggle with drugs and alcohol. Maybe, I don't know what your maybe is. Maybe you like to lie all the time and cheat. I don't know what you do, but you do. Take courage this morning. Admit where your weakest link is. Devise a plan to fortify that with godly men and the Word of God and prayer and things like brave hearts, and get on the path and make up your mind. You know what men get accused of all the time? How stubborn we are. We just stubbornly do what we've always done. What if you flip that? How about you stubbornly become righteous? You stubbornly become accountable. I stubbornly become transparent. In me, I share my heart with other men. I am stubborn about the fact that I will not miss Brave Hearts because it is a place where I grow. Use that strong will to build your faith. God gave you that stubbornness. Let's just flip it, man. Use it for good. The Lord loves you, men, this morning. God loves you. He's not here to condemn you. These words aren't meant to chastise you. They're meant to lift you. There is a heart of gold inside each one of you. Even as I say that word, some of you go, no, not me. Yeah, you. You're a heart of gold. You're the greatest blessing that Plainview, Texas has ever seen. You're a man of God, full of power, full of love, full of energy to do the right things. There is nothing that can stop you this morning. Will you pray with me? God, you have put gold in the hearts of these men. I pray for the one who can't see it this morning. I pray for the one who needs to be encouraged this morning. I ask, God, that you would powerfully visit us as we share our hearts with one another at these tables. Let your Holy Spirit fall upon us. Take us to a new and better way of living and help us believe who we really are. We are righteous. We are pure. We are holy. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are men who are strong and courageous for the things of the kingdom of God. Lord, release your power in our hearts this morning. Strengthen us and send us out. In Jesus' name, amen.